So let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5, and Lord willing, we'll finish chapter 5 today. So, but I certainly didn't want to rush this passage. It's such an important passage and a needful passage for God's people today. So if you can turn your Bibles there to Hebrews chapter 5. In the bulletins, you have a handout. So there's a outline of the passage today that might be helpful to you. And it outlines some really great things that are in these verses, beginning in verse 12 that we did last week. And these have to do with spiritual maturity of the believer. So this directly applies to you. It's their message of the author that wrote this book to Hebrew Christians shortly before the destruction of the temple in 70 AD in Jerusalem, and probably to the churches around Jerusalem in the area of Judea there in Israel. And there's certain challenges that they have in regard to the new covenant that has come in, and these Jewish believers are kind of struggling with their loyalties and the relationship that they have with the old covenant and the law of Moses and the sacrifices that take place in the temple and the place of Christ and his sacrifice. And we'll learn more about that later. Just know that in verse 11 that he has basically said, "Hey, you guys are dull of hearing. You've become spiritually dull in your ability to hear the truth of the Word of God." And we hear the truth of the Word of God because the Spirit of God takes His Word, and the Holy Spirit is our guide and teacher. And He teaches us those truths that have been revealed in Scripture. And when things are functioning properly, our hearts respond in tenderness to the Word and in obedience to the Word, and things we grow spiritually. But when things are not going right, then we become dull of hearing. And what happens is that the conviction and the work of the Holy Spirit gets dull. There's that process of rejecting truth doesn't just leave us in the place where we are. The process of rejecting truth causes us to digress. And so it's very important, it's very crucial that when the Holy Spirit reveals the truth from His Word to us, that in tenderness and in quick obedience we embrace that truth and respond to it in obedience, so that we do not become dull in our senses and in sensitivity to the spiritual truth. So let me read. I want to again begin with verse 9 because the heart of this message comes from verse 9 and 10 actually. And the meaning behind what he is saying comes from the fact that Christ is the source of our eternal security, of our eternal salvation, Okay, verses 9 in chapter 5 of Hebrews. "And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern both good and evil." May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Thank you for those of you that have memorized this passage. It'll benefit you for always. And if you've got it hidden away in your heart, it's just something that every believer needs. So keep working at it. And I have to say that I haven't gotten it memorized at this point. I've exegeted it and beat it to pieces, but I don't have it memorized, and I'm going to make sure to do that, and maybe I'll speak it in Greek next week, Tony. If you do Spanish, I'll try Greek, so we'll see. But let's look then at this passage. In Hebrews 5, the author says, "You believers have become dull of hearing." And dull of hearing we define as the loss of drive, our spiritual vitality, the sensitivity that comes with the excitement. Have you seen it like when a new believer, that he comes to know, to faith in Jesus Christ, and there's a freshness in his love for the Lord Jesus, an excitement about what has happened when he's had the blood of Christ has washed his sins away, and there's just a spark in the eye. And that has to do with the spiritual vitality of the Holy Spirit and the life that he has in Christ. He's come to know his Creator. He has come through salvation in Christ to know the forgiveness of his sins and a new, fresh relationship with God. And so the Scripture says, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Behold, all things have become new, and old things have passed away." And that's the life that we have in Christ. And so there's a fresh spiritual vitality. And that is what we mean there, is that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, and the relationship with God is controlling that baby believer's life. But the reality is that there's a difference between spirituality and spiritual maturity. And so this baby believer has the control of the Holy Spirit. He loves the Lord and is given to obeying God and is tender toward the Word and has much spiritual vitality, but no understanding of the Word of righteousness. No understanding of the different aspects of what it means to live the Christian life and what we're talking about this morning, spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is different from spirituality. Spiritual maturity means obedience and life experiences to the Word of God. The training that the Scripture gives to us. We all need that. And it's God's intention for us to grow up in Christ Jesus to be conformed to the image of God's Son. That's His purpose for you. Romans 8:29 says that God has predestined you to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's His purpose for you. It's His plan. He wants for Jesus, for the Spirit of Jesus, to exude through your life in such a way that when people look at you, they're seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. They're seeing His character, His perfections, His nature, His holiness displayed through His people. And He has a plan in doing that, in that the Holy Spirit indwells the believer, and the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and applies the Word of God in such a way that we become more and more like Christ Jesus. That's the process of sanctification. That process has been short-circuited here. It's been short-circuited because of this issue of being dull of hearing. And so last week in verse 12, we asked the question of why are they dull of hearing? Because verse 11 says you become dull of hearing. Verse 12 says answers the question as to why. And there were three things there, and they've got it in your notes. We wrote it down for you this week. It's in the top of your introduction there. Number one, one who has spiritual maturity requires that student or that one that is in training to have time to grow and become teachers. So if you get the picture here, these guys should have graduated. Okay, they ought to have graduated from college, and in that graduation, they should have an education degree by this time, and they should be teachers. Okay. They should be able to teach these things. But what has happened, because they're short-circuited, they not only haven't, they're not up to that place of having graduated with an education degree and ready to go out and teach others, to actually being back in first grade. That's the picture here. To know the elementary things, the elementary principles. So if we were to compare what he's saying to our present-day education system and think of it in terms of spirituality of what this author is saying about these believers, is he's saying that in the time frame that has taken place, you should be teachers and you're in the first grade. You don't understand elementary principles about the Christian life. Secondly, he says that you need to retain knowledge. You have need, again, for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And so the principle of spiritual maturity is that we need to retain knowledge. We need to come out of that degree with education, with the ability to teach. And that's the normal process, and that's what should happen, but it's been circumvented here. And then the third point was, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. And the point is that they came to a place, they should have been teachers, but at a point in time, they came to a place, that's the intent there in verse 12 of the perfect verb that says that at a point in time, you came to the place where you had regressed to needing to go back to the first grade. That's pretty tragic, huh? That's a tragic thing. There should be spiritual growth. And so those are the things that we're looking at. And if we were to give them a grade, teacher-wise here, this author in Hebrews would say F-. You know, F-. Okay, that's where they're at. Where are you? Where are you in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? How have you handled the value and the treasure of God's Word for you? It's a question that we need to ask and we need to relate to. I believe that the time is urgent and the times are desperate. And God's people need to buck up. We need to mature. We need to grow in God's grace and apply ourselves in obedience to the Word of God. Yield ourselves to the Lord, in order that we might be effective instruments and tools in His service for righteousness. And it comes with a decision in our heart that the Word of God, what is spoken here, what is taught here, can't simply, we can't sleep through it. We can't be dull in our hearing toward those truths. And if we are, what happens, and the picture again in verse 12, is that we regress. Eventually, till we need to go back to milk like a baby. And that's tragic, because now, probably as much as any time in history, God needs for you to be His champion. He needs for you to stand up. He needs for you to speak on His behalf in regard to the gospel, because the realities are that when we enter into this next period of time, shortly before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God's judgment is going to fall upon mankind, and there's no turning back. You know, judgment is coming. And the Scripture makes it very clear that there will be an accounting of man, of all people, to the Lord. And if we believe what the Bible says, if we just simply believe what the Bible teaches, then we have to look and say, these are urgent times. And all times are urgent, because we don't know who's going to be here today and gone tomorrow. We just don't know those things. God has control over those things. He gives life, and life is taken. It's there for a moment, and it's gone. But there is an accountability that each of us have before God. We will answer to Him. In light of those things, it's time for God's people to be serious about the pursuit of the things that He has revealed to us and taught us in His Word. And yet we're looking at a time, probably in no other time in history, where the church, the body of Christ, has been so asleep in regard to the truth that God has spoken. We are dull of hearing. And if anybody can relate culture and time-wise to these people in the book of Hebrews before that judgment fell on them, the temple in 70 AD when Titus came and destroyed that city, that we should be able to. We have become dull of hearing. And the church as a whole has not only rejected the authority of God's Word and the truth that is there, but has opposed the truth of God's Word. and the authority that is there. And we see it in our denominations and in the seminaries. There's been a defection as the God's word is, as they predicted and as prophecies had predicted. There's a coldness and a turning away from the truth of God's word to embrace things that tickle our ears. And we just simply must waken to the call that God has placed on His people to value and treasure His word and to obey His word. Okay? So let's look then at verse 13. For everyone, we'll pick up here, and we're going to address now the question here, because it ended up in verse 11 there, or verse 12, with, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Now we're answering the question. What he does is he answers the question, why do they need milk? Okay, why did they become dull of hearing? Because, they regressed. There was a hardness that regressed. Well, why do they need milk? And he's going to explain it here in further detail to us in the Word. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed, to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. Okay? So what it's saying is the reason that they need milk, it's connecting verse 12 with verse 13. And he's saying that one who partakes only of milk can't handle strong food, right? Moms, okay, you got the baby there, and they're feeding on milk. And there's a point in time when you can't feed them strong meat, right? You don't feed an infant the strong meat because their system is not ready for it, right? Okay, so there's a comparison here spiritually with these believers. You guys need milk. You know, your system can't handle what I'm about to tell you. But if you look later on in chapter 6, it says, but we're going to go on anyway. We're going to go on with strong meat. And so he's saying these believers, it's time to shape up. It's time, even though spiritually, the fact that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, and you should have gone past the infant stage here, but you spiritually still can't handle it, but we got to go on anyway. We're going to go on anyway. And so in verse 12 it says, so for by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you. And number four, but your first point there is that we are to skillfully apply the word to their life circumstances. Okay, you are, for everyone who is partaker of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. What does that mean? Not accustomed to the word of righteousness. It means that they can't handle truth that God has revealed. And they can't take that word of truth and apply it to their lives. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, it means, pastorally speaking, it means that oftentimes, you sit down in counseling with someone and you're saying, you know, this is what God's Word says. I can't tell you how many times, and often in counseling, like in marriage counseling, God hates divorce. You're not to get divorced. It's not an option. The Word of God says that, and your oath before God said, if you have made an oath to until death do us part, then that's not an option for the believer. They are to go to Christ and to find deliverance and salvation, the principles of His Word. And yet, for many believers, that becomes the option. And so you can look there and say, hey, believer, this is not an option for you. And I know I'm not pounding on people that have had divorces, and I know that the things that have happened, but simply the Scripture says that you're to work those things out. And your oath said, until death do us part. So stick with it and know the salvation and the grace of God. And so families are falling apart. And families are breaking apart because the Word of God has been spoken and it's not adhered to, it's not listened to, it's not assimilated into the life, it's not applied skillfully to our life situation. And so ideally, and what the Word of God tells us is that we're to take that truth and apply it. It's not an option for you. So for those of you that are shaky out there and are having troubles in your marriages, know that the Word of God says, work it out. Restore your marriage. God is able. He is our salvation and He can deliver us. And all it requires is two people that will say, whatever God tells me to do, I will do it. And I was in counseling, I say, if you'll come into this situation and say, whatever it is that God wants me to do, I will do that. Even if it costs me, even if it's harder to do that. And if two people will do that, I'll guarantee you that the Lord Jesus Christ can deliver their marriage. But it must be a yielded obedience, a skillful application of the commands of Scripture, of the ideals, of the truth of Scripture, and that obedience in order to know the power of God and the intent of God and the purposes of God worked out in our lives. And that's what we're talking about. Skillfully applying the Word of Righteousness. Now, I just took that as an example, and I hope I'm not stepping on anyone. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings this morning. But some of those of you that are challenged in your marriages and maybe struggling, you need to know that God doesn't want you to divorce. When you took that oath before God, until death do us part, you need to hold to that. And you need to stick in there and know God's salvation. And so if you need prayer and you need help, get it. But skillfully apply the Word of God and the principles of God's Word. And He'll work you through the problems that you have in your relationship. God is able. His Word is true. And it's good and it works. God is able to deliver His people. But there's the skillful application of the principles of God's Word in these areas that are necessary. And God's grace is rich to us. You know, if you have gone through the heartbreak of divorce there's no avoiding things when one partner decides, I'm out of here and you can't do anything about it and those kind of things. But know that it's not God's intention. It's not His will. And there's grace for broken families, and there's grace for other areas in which God's Word has not been skillfully applied and there's been disobedience there. But it begins with the acknowledgement of, no, this is the standard of God's Word. This is the truth. This is the principle, and this is what I'm going to pursue and do at all cost. I'm going to obey Him. So that skillful application of the Word, again, can be taken in any area of your life, in any area of sin. And, and for instance, the homosexual issue and the same-sex marriage issue, that sin becomes very, it's a stronghold. And Jesus said that he that commits sin is a slave to sin. And if you speak with a homosexual, they say, I'm just this way. There's no way out of it. But the Scripture, the Bible says differently. And so when we talk about the skillful application of the Word and obedience to God's Word, there is deliverance for areas of habitual sin, for strongholds of sin in a person's life. But it requires obedience and the skillful application of God's Word and a determination to do what the Lord would have you to do. And the Lord Jesus Christ will deliver an alcoholic that has a habitual area of sin. He will deliver a homosexual that has a deliberate area of sin or an embedded habitual area of sin. One who is engaged in premarital sex, he can deliver. An adulterer, God can deliver. But it requires the obedience and the application of God's Word and knowing His grace. And the first step to that is acknowledgement that this is what God's Word said, and I'm disobeying, I'm breaking the principle that God has said. Therefore, I've got to start there in order to know His deliverance, His salvation, His grace, in those areas of my life. But He wants you to be like Jesus. He wants His people to walk in righteousness. And it's time for us to throw out the baggage. It's time for us to put aside the stuff and pursue at all costs obeying God. And to understand that what Christ said, he that loses his life gains it. And he that tries to gain his life and to live his life his own way and to be Lord over his own life loses his own life. And so obedience to God's word is where we find our deliverance. And the application of those truths is where we become more and more like Christ Jesus. Why do they need milk? Because they are not skillfully applying the word of God to their life. They're not accustomed to the word of righteousness. And so when we hear the word of righteousness, when we hear God's word taught, we fall into a slumber. Or there's an immediate wall. There's a barrier there between. I know that's what God's word says, but I can't get out of this sin of homosexuality. I've been entrapped, enslaved in a stronghold, and I don't want to or I can't. But God's word says that being accustomed to the word of righteousness is a response and obedience to that and the freedom that's brought about through those things. So if you look again at the verse, the word of righteousness, he is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. That word means not skilled. He's not skillfully applied the word of righteousness. So again, what does God's word say? That's where the transforming power, as the Holy Spirit, the Scripture, as we learned in chapter 4, the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and it discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the Word of God, the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and makes it alive. And the Word of God, when we obey, when we respond to the Word, and when we skillfully apply the Word, and we obey the Word, then it transforms us. So that's the process. That's why we teach Scripture. That's why I'm going verse by verse now. So it doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter if I moralize to you. But it does matter. If the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is taking the Word of God as it's exposited and taught, and that Word of God transformationally moves you in obedience to the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's the power of it. And that's exciting to me. That's why I wanted to become a pastor. Because I experienced the transforming power of God's Word in my life. And it changed everything. I was a rebel. And God, He took my family relationships, my just bitterness toward my mother and my father, and transformed it. He transformed it into a decent relationship, and it was the power of God's word. I heard that I was not to be in rebellion against the authority that God placed over me. I yielded to it, and I was angry. And I had certain things that were righteous anger. There was reason to be angry, and certain things that were not. But until I let go of it in obedience to the Word and embrace the Word, I didn't know the glory and the victory of it and the joy of it and the transformational power of it. And that's the same thing with each one of us. As we hear the Word, we either respond to it or we harden our hearts to it. And what we want to do is learn to be quick, to grab the Word and to see it as the value and the treasure that it is, and latch on to it and hold to it. And so we have things like in Scripture, like wives respect your husbands, and husbands love your wives, as Christ loved the church. Now that's a pretty good challenge, men. Sacrificially, you love your wife as Christ loves the church. Ladies, the Scripture says that you should submit to the spiritual headship of your husband. Now, that's hard to do. I mean, and the bottom line is that they simply don't deserve it. They don't need it, humanly speaking. But the Scripture doesn't give us that option. It says, wives, submit to your husbands. Their spiritual leadership. pray for them, and God picks them up and puts them in that place and gives them the wisdom and the strength to lead and guide and to do what they need to do as the spiritual head of the family. Because the Scripture says the husband is head of the wife in the order of the family. It doesn't mean that they're not equal, but it does mean that the husband is to spiritually lead and care tenderly for his wife. As Christ sacrificially served and loved the church, so the husband is to sacrificially love and serve the church. Skillfully apply it, men. Ladies, skillfully apply what it means to submit to your husbands and quit fighting them. Quit fighting the Lord, because ultimately you're fighting the Lord. And take the hard road and yield as God's Word tells you to, that you might know the glory and the joy and the benefit of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And see what God will do with His church. Seek out what God will do with His people when we're willing to make the sacrifice. Now, this is all culturally at animosity with everything that's being preached in our culture today, but it's the Word of God. And so there's a decision. You can harden to what the Scripture teaches, to the truth, or you can skillfully apply it. Okay? And which do you want to be? Do you want to be an infant, or do you want to move on in your Christian life? That's the bottom line. And you're able in Christ Jesus to know the salvation. And so it says, they're not skilled in the word of righteousness. Not being skilled in the word of righteousness digresses you. So when you hear it and when you disobey it, you digress. You keep moving back. Doesn't mean that you're not a believer. It's not talking about loss of eternal salvation. Not talking about that. It's talking about whether one will embrace and know the fullness of eternal life that flows from Jesus Christ in and through His people by the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, and the training of the Word of righteousness in such a way that lives are transformed to be like Him. That's what it's all about. That's the bottom line of why Christ left you here. It's the bottom line of the Christian life and what it means to be sanctified and set apart for Christ. Look at verse 14. Okay, did I skip something there? Okay, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And so to digest... In your notes there, point five, to digest meaty and difficult passages of Scripture, the word of righteousness, solid food means to be practiced and skilled in the application of those truths to your lives. Do you value the Word of God? Are you sitting in the pew at this moment and do you have things in your mind there that I know what the Word of God says here, but I'm sure not ready for it. I don't think I want to go there. I think I want to be Lord of my own life. I think I want to choose the things that are really going to make me happy and the things that I think will make me happy. I can't trust the Lord. I can't trust His Word enough at this point to really make that decision that I'm going to pursue. I'm going to follow what God says regardless. Just haven't gotten there yet. That's where you need to be. You need to think in terms of, can I trust God? Is Jesus Christ and is His Word true? And am I willing to put that reliance and trust on Him to lead me through life? Will He help me navigate the waters? And if I give myself over to His Lordship, to what He says is true, to what I need to do, and am willing, and if I open my heart and respond in that way, will He deceive me? Will He play games with me? Will He cheat me? And He will not. The Lord Jesus will not cheat you. God's Word will not cheat you. God's Word will be true in your life, and you'll find it true and helpful and beneficial and full. So digest the meaty and difficult passages of Scripture. Take them in and value them. Don't be slothful on the pew. Wake up to God's Word. Wake up to one who opens the Word and be ready with the Holy Spirit indwelling you and equipping you and making you alive to hear the truth of that Word. But solid food is for those who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. That solid food is, that word is the end or mature or the perfect. It's for those who are mature and are able to eat solid foods. That's your picture. Having, because of practice, it's interesting the makeup of this little verse. The practice means in number six in your notes there, the practice of habitually perceiving life through the Word. Okay, what does that mean? It means that you are familiar enough with God's Word that you're looking through at things through the grid of Scripture. And man, our country is so lost. And you know, the reason our country is so lost and don't know who they are, or what they're about, or can't understand even the basic, simple things about man's nature and about where we need to be as a country, it's because they don't have any understanding of the Word of God. The church has lost it. The church doesn't teach the Scripture anymore. And you can go to most and there's never the opening of the Bible except maybe to read a verse and then to moralize. It's worthless. Totally worthless. No, we have no exercise in habitually perceiving through the Word the things that we're looking at. And we've got to have that. Otherwise, we're lost and we're like a bunch of lemmings going off the cliff. And that's exactly where we are as a country. We need believers to wake up and to hear the Word of truth, the Word of righteousness, to practice habitually perceiving things, critically looking through the Scripture to understand what it means from God's perspective. We don't have that. It's just minor. We're just minus that perception. And so there's a practice. It's like two-a-days. It's like football practice. You know, you get out there and what do? I'm working on the fundamentals. This is how you block. This is how you tackle. This is how you catch a pass. And I'm getting ready for Friday night because there's going to be some action there and I need to know what to do. And there's training, there's practice. And so you go back the next day and you work on the same fundamentals and you get ready for sharing the gospel, for discipling believers, for teaching the truth, for responding and speaking truth to people that God brings you into contact with. You practice, and you become aware. And so there's a liveliness that God's Holy Spirit takes with God's Word. And then it says that because of practice, have their senses trained. Okay, so the words there, these are the ones who, by practice, have their senses, perception, the faculty of the mind for perceiving and understanding or judging things, what that means. And those senses need to be trained to look at things and to see it through the grid of Scripture. Well, how do we do that? By training in righteousness, by taking in the Word and responding to the Word and skillfully applying the Word and practicing the Word and the perceptions of the Word in every area. It's not just for, you know, church is not some kind of piece of pie in life. God's Word infiltrates everything that you do. And being exercised, skillful in the application of it is what Christianity is all about. It's a lifestyle that infiltrates everything. Your senses are exercised. And this word for exercise is the word that in, if you think about this, back in verse chapter 4, verse 13, we memorized a passage a few months ago, that says, there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare. That word's for naked. And this word for exercise is the word that's used for the Olympic athletes as they had stripped down and go and do the exercises in the Olympics and that type of thing. They came to the place of being laid bare in their exercises, in their training. And the picture is that of practicing your senses, exercise in the type of strenuous training that these Olympic athletes would train as. And so you're to, because of practice, have your senses exercised. And the last phrase there, to discern both good and evil. That exercise of discernment of good and evil is something that we need. We don't understand good and evil. We have embraced, in some senses, in some ways, the the Eastern idea that good and evil are just there, that evil is eternal. The Bible says evil has an end to it. It had a beginning in man's rebellion with Adam, and evil has an end. It's not the yin and the yang, as many people believe today. Well, that's perception. That's looking at the world through God's perspective. The reason that evil has an end is because God is going to bring judgment. There's going to be a day of judgment, the Scripture says. Christ said, I come and I've been given power over resurrection to judge. The Father has given me power to make judgment. You say, well, Christ is, he was just a kind of a nice, kind guy. But no, Christ said, I'm coming to bring judgment. And there will be a day of resurrection, a resurrection to life and a resurrection to destruction. You know why there's a resurrection to destruction? Because there's going to be an end to evil. God is going to deal with it. So the question, why is God leaving all of this evil? Why doesn't he do something? He's doing something. But in his mercy, he's pulling people out to salvation, to God, to righteousness, to life with him, as many as will come. But one day there's going to be an end to evil. It'll be over. And we need to be exercised to discern good and evil as God's people. That's what he wants from you. And it's necessary for us because we may be the only bridge, the only opportunity to speak the truth to those that need to hear and need to know salvation. Okay? It's urgent. Our calling, what God wants from you, what God needs from you, the reason that he left you here, his purpose for your life is urgent. His word is necessary. It's valuable. It's a precious treasure that transforms lives. And you've been given a responsibility of carrying that to people, of being a light bearer, of being one that treasuring that word and speaking that word and bringing those that would come to the Lord and to flee the wrath that is certainly, most assuredly to come. Just because things have been smooth and peaceful in your lifetime doesn't mean that there's not hard times in the future. Doesn't mean that judgment is not coming. And if you look at instances going back to the destruction at Babel, it comes in a day. All of a sudden you look around and they're breaching the wall. And that's the way judgment happens. There's a day. It's called a day of judgment. A time when it happens. And we move toward that. And so as ambassadors for Jesus Christ, as ministers of reconciliation, let's carry the word. Let's treasure it and bring it to people. That's why Grace Bible Church is here, to be missionaries in the Hill Country, to tell others that there's hope, that there's deliverance, that there's salvation that comes through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. There's no other way, folks. That's what the Bible says. Well, do we believe that? And do we believe that judgment, that wrath is coming upon mankind? The people that you love? That's what the Scripture tells us. Are we dull of hearing? Are we going to be exercised and skilled in the application of those truths? Okay, it's a decision. It's a decision today. And I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to myself as well. I'm speaking to all of us. It's a truth from God's Word. We must embrace it. May God give us tenderness to those things. So why do they need milk? Because they lack obedience in the skillful application of the Word of God in their lives. They need to learn to exercise discernment of good and evil. And they need milk now because of the lack of obedience, the skillful application of the Word in their lives. Now let's go back. I want you to think. Go back with me to verse 9. Chapter 5, verse 9. Having been made perfect, speaking of the Lord Jesus, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal life. Now, I want to make the point again, because some people are thinking in terms of this means that if they obey him, they get saved. That's not what the Scripture's saying. It means that if they obey Christ, they have access to the source of eternal life. Now, when we go into these deeper, harder things, these things that are a little bit hard to digest, and we talk about salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and that's absolutely correct. Salvation is by faith, by grace through faith. God did it all. You can't add anything to what God did. But in this area of sanctification, which means the transformation of your life to be more like Christ, Jesus Christ, back to verse 9, is the source of eternal salvation. That means that when by faith you embrace Christ as your source of life. Now, Jesus in John 15 said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me bears much fruit, but without me you can do nothing. That's exactly what we're talking about. The source of your salvation comes from your connection to Jesus Christ by faith, knowing His power and His strength within you. See, it's still by grace. Sanctification is still by grace. It still happens by God's power through your faith in that power. Isn't that awesome? I mean, it'd be terrible if we had to do it in our own strength or our own wisdom, because we couldn't do it. But in God's power and His strength and His wisdom, He has supplied through Jesus Christ the source of salvation. And when we, by faith, connect into that, trusting in Him, an intimate personal relationship, there's abundant grace. The Scripture says all things that pertain to life and godliness have been given to you. All things. And so that life source in Jesus flows through us. Without Him, we can do nothing. With Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. We labor striving according to His power, which mightily works within us. Isn't that awesome? God desires to display His power and His grace through you. The hindrance is to all those who will obey Him, to all those who will yield to His Word, to the truth that He's speaking to us, to the benefit that He desires to give to you. So there's decision time here as we close. There's a decision. Will I embrace the life source of Jesus Christ through His Word as it's spoken? And will I move on in spiritual maturity in the skillful exercise of that Word of truth in my life or not? Am I going to fight God all my days and lose the opportunity for that source of eternal life to be displayed? And so there's an opportunity where certain decisions and questions in your life are going to come about, and you will either choose to obey them, and there will be fruit that is born, celestial fruit on terrestrial soil, where that is to eternal life. It is to the eternal benefit of everyone, to God, to others, to you. And God will do it through you. His works will be shown through you. For you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He before ordained to work through you. Isn't that awesome? But there's a decision to all those who will obey. And that obedience was what Jesus Christ spoke of in John chapter 12. And I'll stop with that. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And that's the perfection of the Son of Man that we talked about in that verse. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls in the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. You must die. You must die to yourself. You must die to your own ways. You must die to be in the Lord of your own life. And then Jesus goes on to say, he who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there he shall be my servant also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Will you be honored this morning? The option is obedience or dishonor. Honor or dishonor. Obedience or disobedience. Skill in the Word or not skill in the Word. And so let's make the decision to pursue our Lord and to embrace His Word. Father, thank You for Your Word and for the truth. Lay it up in our hearts, Lord God, that we might respond and that we would be tender and that we would not in any way be hardened in regard to the truth of Your Word. Help us, Lord God, for we desire for Jesus Christ to be exalted, for eternal fruit to be born, for He is the source of our eternal salvation, and You have given Him to us and us to Him, that Your works might be displayed through Your people. And may it be so, Lord God, and may we take the urgency of the times and be faithful to obey and to lay hold of that source of eternal salvation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.